Unscripted Podcast. This is Caitlin. Each episode, my Uncle Aaron interviews guests that are living their lives unscripted. The song you are hearing is the music from our dear friends, Tori and Shauna. You can find their music wherever you stream your favorite songs. For now, from his studio, here's my Uncle Aaron.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Unscripted from my studios in Hilliard, Ohio. Speaking of Hilliard, Ohio, got a special guest today. Long overdue, man. But Corey, can you introduce yourself and we'll go from there?
Sure. My name is Corey DeCaro. I have been living in Hilliard since, 1999 after graduating from Ohio State and just stuck around these parts, but originally from Hiram, Ohio, which is up near Cleveland, near that 216 hat you got on, bro.
Absolutely. You got to always rep, right? So, yes. But you're a husband and a father and everything else too, right?
Yes. Just passed 20 years of marriage with my wife, Kelly.
Congratulations.
Which is wonderful. Two boys, 17 and 15. And this is our first week of driving. So let them loose. They're out in their own car running around town. So
how hard was that when they drove away the first time?
It was hard. I had been driving them to school in every morning since sixth grade.
Wow.
And so watching them pull out of the driveway was a little more emotional than I thought. And then I realized how little control I have over things.
Right.
So like, hey, there they go. I hope they come back later.
That's right. Yeah. I think the great Kenny Chesney once said, there goes my life. Like,
yeah.
You know, that plays in the back of your head as they drive off for the first time and really every time. But anyway, so the first time you and I met, that was back in our softball days, man. We were angry young men out there just getting it done on the weekends.
Yes.
And I roll up to Berliner Park for some BP practice. I don't know if you remember this, but it's the first time I've ever met you. And so I roll up, I get out of the car, and this guy comes over, man. He's just full of energy and just welcoming. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. I don't even remember what team we were playing for. It might have been Northwest. I really don't remember. You might remember. But yeah. Anyway, man, ever since then, just appreciate you, love you. So yeah, we'll get into your story a little bit. But yeah, that was the first time I ever met you. Do you remember that?
I don't remember the first time, but I remember playing ball with you. And yeah. I always remember thinking I might be a little too intense for this church league team here. They're going to have to go find another guy. But man, we had some good memories, some good times. And that was when our bodies worked the right way.
Yeah, it was about 100 pounds ago. Rob Mulvaney somewhere, if he's listening, is probably smiling, thinking back to those dynasty teams at Northwest that he would. So
yes.
Anyway, we didn't get on to talk softball, but just a vivid memory I have of you. So let's start with your story, because your story did not start in church. You did not, right? And so I'll let you tell your own story, but you didn't start to be a pastor. So I'll let you just kind of pick up your story and go from there.
Sure. Yeah. Man, I'll fast forward through the beginning of it. Like, grew up in a non-Christian home. For me, it was eighth grade. I had a buddy that I was on the wrestling team with, took me to a sports camp up on Lake Erie. And I was totally ignorant that it was a Christian sports camp. And so I got there and I was like, oh man, what's all this Bible stuff? I don't know what I'm doing. But it was on a Wednesday night at that camp, the pastor got up and man, he shared the gospel, shared about Jesus, shared about our sin. And I was squirming and I was like, man, I don't know what's going on. I don't have all the answers, but at my core, I believe what this guy is saying is true. And on that Wednesday night, I walked forward and gave my life to Jesus. First one in my home to do that. My parents, you know, my mom was like, oh, that's cool. You'll be a good little boy now. My dad thought I was crazy. He actually told me, he goes, you'll be over this in 2 weeks. Don't worry about it. And so eventually left Hiram off to Ohio State and had a pretty good freshman year. But then like many, wrong crowd. And spent the next several years, including my 50-year victory lap, you know, kind of living pretty crazy and wild. But graduated Ohio State with a gentleman pouring into me, knowing that, I guess the best way to put it, I wasn't really following after Jesus like I should. But he just loved on me, spoke grace, spoke truth. And I actually went to work for the company that he was at. And that was my first job in the secular world. I was just a data entry guy. Spent about a year there before moving to another company and worked in the business world for 10, 12 years. But it was in the midst of that, found Northwest Bible Church and started volunteering at church. And for me, I classify myself as I was a classic undecided kid. Undecided going into college, undecided going through college, undecided coming out of college and serving at Northwest. And all of a sudden I was like, whoa, I kind of like this ministry thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do with it though. I've got no more money left. Ohio State's got all of it. And I don't think I can go back to seminary or anything. And a guy you and I know and love, Pastor Tom Ladd, man, just really, he started to pour into me. We met in the evenings and walked through scripture. And I asked thousands of questions of him of like, so do you full-time ministry guys? Like, do you work every day, like all day, and they pay you for it? And what do you do? And he really took me under his wing. And it was while working in the business world and during that time, I thought, maybe I'm being called into full-time ministry. And Pastor Tom really helped me work through that. And then some of the church leadership, Pastor Ken Harrell, you know, we got to a point where it was like, do you see this calling on my life? Is this craziness?
Yeah.
Or do you see something there? And they agreed, they saw something there. And gosh, they just kind of took me under their wing. But there was a pivotal moment where I was sitting down with my wife, Kelly, early on in our marriage. And said, hey, honey, I think I'm called into full-time ministry, but I can't do this without you. Mm. I can't. This has got to be a team effort thing. If I'm not going unless you're going with me. And we sat on our couch having this discussion one night, shed some great tears, knowing that we were putting our yes on the table and telling God, hey, wherever you take us, whenever you take us, you know, whatever you want to do with us, our answer is yes. Mm. And it was, I don't know, it was in that moment, it was kind of a catalyst, maybe pivotal moment for us that we were just ready to go and not sure, knowing we might just leave all of our family in Ohio behind and God could take us across the world. And at that time, I was working for Cardinal Health as a project manager and I was moving up the corporate ladder. The one thing I didn't want to do, I just knew it was going to take more time away from me and my family. And man, there was a moment driving home from work one day where I got promoted and I felt I was way in over my head and I was driving home and going, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. And I think I'm over my head, you know, in my position. And literally that night, Pastor Ken Harrell called and said, hey, why don't you swing by the house? And I was like, sure. I had been volunteering, leading, you know, young adults and stuff. So I figured I'm just going to get some marching orders for the week or for the month. And he said, hey, got a question for you. I think the Lord's opened up a door. Would you like to come on staff as our small groups director? And I don't think he even finished the sentence. Yes came flying out of my mouth. And man, that's kind of how I got into full-time ministry. And for me, it was all I knew was I was on the team. I was like, I'm the water boy. This is the greatest thing ever.
It's put me on the roster.
Yes. So, and I never had any aspirations other than like, man, I'm on the team. And so that's where it all kind of started.
And then I just watched the trajectory of your time in ministry. And I want to pause really quick and say that for those listening that are not in ministry, you know, air quotes in ministry, because that, look, I believe I'm in ministry. I'm just not, I don't work for a church. You know what I mean? Like you're in ministry wherever you are, but there are those that are called to our local churches and they hold positions and those type things. But I will say I had a cup of coffee in ministry and truly working for a church. And it was one of the hardest things for a family. My kids were young. Yours were young when you accepted this calling and this position. It's not easy. The hours are not easy because at the end of the day, you're never off.
Right.
Right. When you're in ministry, you're always on. Your phone is always on because there's someone, unfortunately, may go to the hospital or, you know, whatever it might be, somebody needs your counseling, somebody needs wisdom. You talked about Tom Ladd, you know, somebody's got to sit with, just like you did with Tom Ladd, for example. So you're never off. And so it is, I want people to understand if you've never been in ministry with a church, it's a very difficult road and it is a calling and it's not always the highest paid job. You know what I mean? You really do it with your heart wide open. And so from that, what I wanted to go back to is I watched, so you said small groups. I know when my kids were teens, you were their youth pastor and we didn't attend Northwest, but we still gave a tithe to Northwest because we felt like our kids were being poured into, and they did not want to leave the teen group at Northwest. They loved the teen group. And so, you know, we kind of mixed and matched a little bit, a little buffet church style, but
yeah,
but they loved you and you poured into their lives at a critical time. And so I want to know, I want to speak for Heather as well and just say thank you for leaving fingerprints all over them and their lives and their faith, because they're who they are today because of the teen group that they were a part of and your leadership and others that followed you, but primarily you. You were really the key pivotal point there. So thank you, man.
You're welcome. I'm humbled by that, man. It was privilege. It was a privilege and an honor.
Yeah. So then teen group to what was next? Because you've had some transit. There's been a lot of transition and Northwest has gone through transition, not just staffing wise, but they've done an overhaul. The church looks completely different than it did back in the day with the curtains and the chandeliers, you know, and it was beautiful at the time, but they've, you know, made the shift and changes that they have to make internally, both structurally and with staffing and things like that. So where does it stand today? Because I know you took some time away and then came back. And so where does it stand today?
Yeah, gosh, I think it stands poised and ready for a bright future. It's pretty, you referenced it. Like, I think a year and a half in as small groups director, I got called in and said, hey, leadership thinks you're our next youth pastor.
Yeah.
And in my stellar interview skills, I responded with, you do? And that kicked off that season, which was wonderful, getting to know your kids. And I mean, I'd already known you. It was just a blessing. And some of the golden years of ministry were in youth ministry, from there to executive pastor for several years. Okay. And then a couple of years ago, and we can get into this if you want to or not, like left, God stirred in us, left. And we actually went and planted a church and thought, hey, this is it forever. And in God's crazy way has brought us right back to Northwest. And so it's been, I share a little bit about that because you asked, hey, where does it stand today? I've been able to see 20 years at Northwest going and experiencing planting a church and coming back. And I can honestly say, God's done some amazing things here. He's brought together an awesome team. I would describe it as wonderful clarity, wonderful vision, wonderful mission in moving forward. And for a time such as this, brother, I mean, you know, and we are going through that transition between a senior pastor that's getting ready to step away, that, man, almost 3 decades. And it's a healthy transition. It's a good one. And a new lead pastor that's poised and ready to go. And so Jan 1 is going to be, okay, the gates are open, time to run.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I want to go back to, you just mentioned it, and this might be hard. I might get choked up during this part. I don't know. I'll try real hard not to. But, you know, Pastor Harold is transitioning out of a position he's been in. Corey, how long? How long has he been senior pastor?
Almost 33 years.
33 Almost. Years in ministry. Mm-hmm. Can you, I mean,
yeah. Here.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
Just an incredible time. He's led Northwest from being in little, I think they were even a school for a little time, a Hilliard school for a while. They used to be on that little brick building in old Hilliard, as they call it, across from Old Bag of Nails.
Yeah.
You know, and now to those 20 acres, I think he calls them, right? Is that what he calls it? Is it
the 22 beautiful acres?
There you go. 22 beautiful acres, man. He's been in that leadership role for a long time, and he's seen a lot of change in the church from hymnals in the back of the pews to, you know, and these are simple things, but the church itself has grown. It's expanded. It's changed. Church now has become something different because we have people that are different and they consume things different. Now it's content, for example. So he's been at the wheel and in leadership of that transition. And you've been there now, you said 20 years, right? So
Yeah.
So you've been there as well and had eyes on that, including, you know, launching a church as well. You've been in this transitional shift, but there's a key point I want to make. And that is his son-in-law, I believe y'all have a very special relationship, and is probably his son-in-law today because of an interaction with you. Am I speaking out of school, or is that correct?
No, you're correct. And Bob Hart is one of my best friends. And early on, one of the first companies I worked for downtown, I wouldn't even name it because I got bought out 7 different times. But we worked together and we became fast friends. We were both into sports and our company did a lot of the YMCA corporate challenge stuff. And so if there were sports to be played, I was going to be there. We became fast friends. I would always have my Bible on my desk and he would come over and be like, why is your Bible on your desk? I'm like, well, because I read it. It's like, you actually read that thing? And so
it's like a hotel room or anything.
Yes. Yeah. It's not in the drawer. It's actually on my desk, man. And so we would have, the best way I would describe it, we would have 1 to 2 sentence conversations about faith or about the Bible or about Jesus. And that's about as far as he would allow it to go. And so I was concerned with, you know, where he was going to spend eternity.
Yeah.
And we talked for years. I shared with him about my faith and about Jesus. I mean, probably for 5+ years. And my wife and I, once we got married, we had a small group in our little 1-bedroom apartment and where I think 3 or 4 of us were meeting. Bob actually lived in the same apartment complex and I would invite him to our group and he knew every Tuesday our group would meet. So every Tuesday he made sure he was super busy and so he could always say no.
I got to do laundry. I got to wash my hair. Whatever,
I got this thing, you know. And I would remember we would have conversations, we would work out. And I think the coolest thing was is I had a buddy, we were having group one night at our place. And I had a buddy that knew of Bob and he said, hey man, is Bob ever going to come? And I was like, I don't think so. And I remember I told God that night, I'm like, hey, I'm just going to lay off. I don't want to be that pushy Christian. I don't want to shove anything down, you know, anybody's throat or in their face. And the very next day at work, Bob and I are having lunch and he was like, hey man, I know I've never come, but don't stop asking. I'll be there someday. And I was like, wow. Like I was just ready to give up and he gave me permission to keep going.
Yeah.
And literally the next week we're having group again. And I had a buddy in the group that was like, you know what? Let's pray for Bob right now. We prayed, literally said, amen. My phone rang and it was Bob. He forgot it was Tuesday, bro. It was Tuesday. And he's like, man, I'm bored. What are you doing? And I was like, funny you should ask. And so he was like, all right, I'll come over. And he gave me this laundry list. He was like, don't make me open a Bible. Don't make me talk. Don't make me pray. Don't ask me any questions. And I was like, cool. He came down and we were doing a study in the New Testament, I think on the parables. And we read the first section of the study and the first person to talk, Bob, right? He's like, hey man, is this like a different John than the other John? And what John is it? And I said, whoa, you're breaking the rules, man. You're not supposed to be talking or doing anything. This is the contract we wrote up, right?
Sorry.
And so that kind of opened up further conversation. But I remember talking with him one night and I said, hey, I want to show you something. I said, it's not biblically accurate to the T, but I said, would you watch The Passion of the Christ with me? And that was kind of when all that was big. And I said, I think you just need to see what Jesus did for you on the cross. And so he came, we watched the movie and he just got up and he walked right out of our house, or out of our apartment. And he would tell you, hey, that was that on his way home. That was the night he was like, I made a decision for Jesus.
Wow.
I think he wound up coming to church the next week and gave the official, I'm going to raise my hand and say I'm in.
Yeah.
But that Bob, a couple years later, winds up dating the pastor's daughter. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? You're crazy.
That's a whole nother level.
It is. I'm like, do you even know what you're in for? He's like, no. And I'm like, maybe that's the best thing. You don't even know what you're in for. But wound up marrying Pastor Harold's daughter. And man, yeah, Bob's one of my best friends this day, now a deacon at our church. And
how about that?
Just a man of God. So yeah, love that guy.
And if I remember right, he wasn't the only one. I think you brought several guys. I mean, it was like all your coworkers were starting to come in. And again, so you talked about being in ministry, but you were in ministry even back in that old job in that old cubicle with your Bible on your desk. You've been in ministry. So again, for anybody listening, you can be in ministry and you don't have to go, you know, quit everything, leave everything and go work for your local church. Although if that's what God's calling you to do it, then by all means do it, because look at where Corey is today. Mm. But you were still serving in ministry, even in that cubicle.
Yeah, you say that, Aaron, and like a pivotal point in my life was I got to go on a mission trip through Northwest to Estonia, which is butts right up next to Russia.
Yeah.
And my first time I went, I connected with some of our missionaries over there. And I really thought, like, I'm going to leave. I'm going to become a full-time missionary.
Yeah.
And I was sitting with these guys one night. We were having the discussions about this, like, what would it look like? And man, they challenged me. Interesting enough, full circle, was playing softball six nights a week back then. And playing even through the winter indoor leagues. And I remember these guys in Estonia looked at me in the most loving, challenging way, said, Corey, how many people know about Jesus because of you on your softball teams?
Mm.
And I was like, I couldn't name one. Yeah. And they looked at me and they said, then why in the world would we bring you over here to do missions if you can't do that in your own backyard?
Wow.
And that blew my world.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I got some things to change. And so to your point, it was like, okay, God's got me where I am and when I am on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I am, I guess, a missionary or in full-time ministry right where I'm at. Secular world, softball field, wherever, the gym, wherever it was. And that was just a moment that changed for me to look at everything differently.
I agree with you. That was something we were challenged with for many years when our kids were in all these travel sports and they're playing all these sports. And, you know, all three of them were active in three different sports all the time. We were always on the go, but it was always the same community of people we were with. It was always the same family. And I remember Heather and I struggled to really find a time or date that we could get a small group going, you know, yeah. And every time it would come up, it was like, we're in one. We're actually in three, you know, because every one of our kids is in a sport. And we are around the same people every single time. And what you just said is really powerful because I had to challenge myself with that. How many people's lives have I impacted on the side of a baseball field and for good, not negative, you know? And that's tough when you're watching your kid play baseball and he's on the mound. But you know what I'm saying? I'll sit here and say, I'm not going to say that I got it right. I don't think I did, but I always knew in the back of my mind that this is our community. We're in three small groups. Mm-hmm. And they're those families that are around the fence line or at the pool or in the gymnastics gym. Those are our small group. Those are our people. And we have a chance every week to invest in their lives and ask about them and pray for them and go through life with them. It just doesn't look as traditional as most people would draw it up.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I love it. So what's next now that you're back in Northwest?
Wow. So that
spoiler alert, if you can give it away, I don't even know what you're going to say, but well, welcome to Unscripted.
Yeah, I love it. So what's next? I was just talking just before I got on with you. I had another buddy that popped in, interesting enough, that came to the Lord through Bob after.
There you go.
So, and just talking about what is next. And so I'm now back on staff and I'm where my passion and my heart is. I'm back being pastor of groups and discipleship, meeting with people, investing in people. Man, that's what gets me excited.
Yeah. And you're great at it.
Thanks, man. And I love that. I love walking with folks. And so I get to focus on that. Like that's my swim lane and I get to be great at that. And I really like that. And so I'll be focused on doing that, but and then helping the church in this transition, which is crazy to me, is when pastor retires, I'm gonna be the oldest guy on staff.
So I don't mean to laugh out loud. That's fantastic.
So I'm the old guy now.
The senior most member.
Yes. So but what I hope, you know, I mean, I hope to really create that we create this culture and this DNA of groups happening where you've seen it, you know, just how, what a blessing it can be and how powerful those moments can be, and, you know, where you're not walking alone through life. Yeah. And so that's my hope. And then again, the discipleship piece, just see people grow in their relationship with Jesus to be more like him and then go grab other people and teach them to do the same. That's my hope. But then I also hope I get to play the old guy role, like that some of these young guys, when they're like, I can be like, hey, slow down.
Slow
it's
your
okay.
roll.
Or, hey, you know what? Hit the accelerator on that. It's time to move, you know? Yeah. So it's, and in the process, I described it this way to a friend the other day. Sports analogy, right? It's like we're all on a football team. Mm-hmm. And our objective, we have an overall objective, an overall mission, you know, to win the game or to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out to folks. But in a football game, you get focused on drives. You have to score touchdowns. And so to eventually win the game. And our drive right now, the current drive we're on, is seeing Pastor Harold finish well.
Mm.
And our drive right now is to cross this finish line or cross the end zone come December 31st. And so it's an interesting, you know, what do you do when somebody that's been a staple for 33 years is so I think there's going to be a lot of emotions and a lot of wonderful moments and that we don't even know are coming and are going to have to experience and walk through. And but the blessing is in life, how many times we don't know when the last thing is.
Right.
You know, we don't know when our last breath is going to be. Mm-hmm. I didn't know, a week and a half ago, this was the last morning I'm driving my boys to school.
Right.
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 We, especially as parents, we never know when the last, no, I don't want to play Legos anymore, Dad.
Yeah.
You know, oh my gosh, that was the last one. And so,
yeah.
But here we are in the midst of this transition, fully aware that everyone is the last one.
Yeah.
Hey, this was the last communion that he led. This was the last staff meeting. And so we're wrestling with that, but trying to rejoice in the fact that God's allowing us to see and be aware it's the last one. So that's kind of the drive we're on right now. Like, let's score this touchdown.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll do it all over again at the first of the year, getting, you know, our goal is to see people know Jesus, grow in their relationship with him, and then go and reach and serve others in his name. That's our goal. And
I like how you guys are doing it too. You know, to quote Casting Crowns, if I'd only known the last time would be the last time. To your point.
So good.
So good. It's such a good song. It's such a heartbreaking song though. But at the same time, it is cool how you guys are doing this, because it's not like you're bringing in an entirely new staff. There has been change in the staff. You have a new worship leader now, but I think he's probably been there about a year at least.
Yep. Yep.
So he's got his traction. He's got his footing now. You've got your, you know, new pastor that's going to be taking over. He's had a chance to incorporate. People know who he is now. They know his story. They know you, obviously, being the senior most member of the staff. But that's important. It's really important in a transition like this. This is a seismic shift when you have a transition like this. And so in any, whether it's church or business, anytime you have that person, you know, that changes, there's a lot happening, and people need stability. Most they just need to know, are we going to be okay? You know what I mean? Especially those that have been there for so long that every Sunday saw Pastor Harold up there. I love how he's transitioning out, as hard as it is. I love how he's doing it with this series that he's in. Can you talk about how impactful the series has been? Because I've been streaming it myself, how impactful that is, and how just what that means to you.
Yeah, it is. It's impactful because you take somebody who's been one place 33 years. And again, you go look at statistics for a lead pastor, senior pastor. I think you got a better shot of being, you know, running backs in the NFL have more longevity. But you're taking somebody who's been one place almost 33 years, four decades of pastoral experience, and he's kind of saying, hey, here are the last six messages I want to leave you with. Mm-hmm. There's weight to that. There's heaviness to them. And I think for those sitting in the room or listening, you listen differently.
Yeah.
You don't take it for granted.
Right. You lean in a little closer.
Yeah. You pay attention. And so, and he's done it well, and he's very few finish well.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hardest thing to do is to finish well. And to know that that transition is happening and taking place and it's healthy and it's a good thing. You're just paying attention and you're soaking it in. Like, so you're leaning in like you normally wouldn't on a Sunday. You probably should every Sunday, but it is, the reality is it's just different. And And for, you know, personally for me, seeing him up there each week is, you can't help but go, there's four more left.
Wow.
Yeah. There's three more left.
Right.
And you try not to get emotional about it.
Yeah.
And you don't want to go make him emotional about it, because he's like, I'm still going to do my thing.
He's locked in.
He's locked in. And so, but it's also been, you take notes yourself of, hey, this is what it looks like to finish things well. And we all have to finish things well. It doesn't have to be, you got to finish, you know, you're putting, if you're out there and you're putting your 2 weeks in to go to your next job, finish your 2 weeks well, right?
Yeah.
Finish your time with your kids well, all of it, you know, yeah. Finish your workout well today, you know, so all of it. So maybe I'll finish it well. Maybe it was a, you know, a blizzard or something.
Finish that Diet Coke well.
So,
but in all seriousness, to your point, Heather and I were up in Put-in Bay, gosh, I think it was like September, and we were having lunch, and I looked out and there was this guy on this park bench. He's just an older guy, and he's sitting there, and I told Heather, I want to go interview that guy. I really did. If I'd have had this stuff, I probably would have just gone, hey man, I'm going to, you know, on the spot. But what I meant was, I want his wisdom. I want to know, good, bad, or otherwise, what this guy's been through his life. I really wanted to just, you know, and maybe not that guy, whoever it may be, just to sit at their feet for a minute, because I think we stand on their shoulders, but we should sit at their feet and listen to their wisdom of the wars they've been through, the changes they've seen in the church, good, bad, or otherwise, what they like, what they don't like. I think we get moving so fast. And right now our world's being influenced by TikTok, and I am an abuser of TikTok. I love it so much, but we're being influenced by some dude in his basement, or, you know what I mean? Or like some guy on a podcast that's influencing us, when we have so much wisdom and knowledge right there next to us, and we're not tapping into that. And I do believe our country would be better off if we maybe tapped into those that went before us. Not getting on a rant here, but you know what I'm saying? I think honoring.
Absolutely.
And so I love that the church is getting to get his greatest hits, his greatest wisdom in this last, you know, I think 4 weeks left. Is that right? Or three.
Three
weeks.
Now.
3 weeks left. And in a season when it's Christmas. And the last thing I will say to honor him well is there's things that were always non-negotiables for him, and they've always been non-negotiables for him. His family, his respect to the military, his love of Jesus. You know, I mean, they are pillars, and he never, ever, ever wavered. No matter what was happening, no matter what changed, those things were always something that I just respected so much. And honestly, I've tried to model as well in my life, not nearly as well as he has, but honoring our military, honoring those who have served, honoring your wife, honoring your children, and most of all, man, just loving Jesus and, you know, being concerned about the well-being of others, which you obviously took very much to heart.
Yeah.
Literally, yes. To Bob Hart.
Yes.
But you know, you did that, man. And so I'm really glad that you're back. I know there's a lot of people really glad that you're back. And I'm just honored to call you my friend. And I'm looking forward to seeing where the Lord takes those 22 acres.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, man, happy holidays to you. Merry Christmas to you. Love on your family. Love them kids, man. They're going to be gone soon. I don't want to get you all worked up, but I'm telling you, don't blink, because we're empty nesters now. I don't know what you and Kelly are going to do when you're empty nesters, man.
Well, I'm grateful. We got some practice runs now when they're gone, and I'm grateful that I can look at my wife and I'm like, we're going to be okay. We love each other, but maybe even better, we like each other.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's good. We're going to have some fun.
It is a bittersweet season, and I'm not trying to rush it for you, but it is right around the corner. I'm just saying it's right around the corner. So the last thing I have to say is, I'm going to put this out, and I'm going to put these videos out and stuff and teasers, but can we both clarify? I am not Hank from Breaking Bad, and
correct,
you are not Chris Daughtry.
100% not Chris Daughtry. Don't make me sing. I'll prove it in a bad way.
Well, and I'd be a terrible cop. So we are not those guys, but if anybody's looking for, you know, maybe we can make a little scratch, man. We might be able to show up at parties and stuff, you know, as Hank and Daughtry.
I know. Yeah. And Daughtry, if you're out there listening, man, let's chat sometime, you know?
Oh, man. Yeah, seriously, we would love to interview Daughtry. But, man, you're the best, Corey. Thanks for always loving me, accepting me, just like everybody else that you've done that in your life. And because of that, there's people that are going to spend eternity with Jesus. And now you're doing it on a platform at a local church, but you were doing it before that. And I appreciate you, man.
Thanks, brother. I love you guys, man. Appreciate you, too.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Unscripted Podcast. Make sure to review and share wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps out our mission to encourage everyone to live life unscripted. Until next time, keep living life unscripted.